Put on those old tight leather pants, lace up your combat boots, apply some Voltaren cream to those arthritic hands, and throw up those devil signs because Judas Priest is back with a new album. Invincible Shield is the 19th studio album from the ongoing heavy metal band Judas Priest. The last album, Firepower, came out in 2018. But the last album I heard was the 1982's Screaming for Vengeance way back in 2023. Not all of Judas Priest fans are aging boomers desperately clinging to the glory days of 80s hair metal. Some are much younger, like our friend Tyler. So Tyler is the fan. Anything you want to
I always love it when you refer to it as hair metal because the front man is bald as shit. And it's just the greatest.
I'm referring to his beard now.
Oh yeah.
Beard meaning his fake girlfriend.
Oh well.
Anything you want to tell us beside the fact that the lead singer's gay and no hair? About Judas Priest.
For those who didn't listen to our Patreon episode, I got to talk about Judas Priest for like, an hour that time?
Fully erect.
Oh, as the Dickens and sunburnt like a lobster. But it was worth it. Quick little background. I first listened to Judas Priest when I was in high school at my first job. I just had like Pandora on and one of their songs came on. A buddy of mine is like, oh, dude, this fucking band is awesome. Like, you got to listen to some other shit. He recommended, what was it? Evil Eye. And then That's where the addiction started. I got the whole album on CD. And I've just been a fan ever since, like, I want to say 2016, 2015, maybe.
Yeah. So you went backwards and listened to all 18 albums, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have.
Preparing for this moment.
Well, except for two, because fuck those two albums. But yes, I actually eventually did go back and almost collect every album.
Okay, so we diehard fan for Tyler, Mitch. I already told everybody my background on Judas Priest. What about you?
Oh no.
Hey, I'm not about to start hating. This is a band, you know, it's
you're
like
shaking your head. I'm scared.
I'm just shaking my head. I'm just like, I'm it's more like a, I don't fucking know. You know, it's like it's, you know, there's the hits, you know, Breaking the Law.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you're up to something, you go, Breaking the Law, Breaking the Law.
But, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, Painkiller, Living After Midnight. I you know, those are like the songs that are there when you look them up on Spotify. Those are the ones that, like, I know.
Yeah. Mitch knows more hits than I do. Remember, I knew like two songs. I know two songs by them until we did that Patreon episode. Now I know 10.
That's you know, some classic rock stuff there. Again, not really something that is my cup of tea, but I guess you'll hear about that when I talk more about it. But yeah, I guess the gist of it is I don't really have too much of a history at all with them besides the hits.
And let you guys know, I did not have a chance to listen to this one, so I will be giving you a first reaction to my one time listening to the album, whereas Tyler and Mitch will give a full review of it. So here's my thoughts real quick, and then we'll get into the review. So even though I haven't heard anything they've done in the past 40 years, this album sounds like it could have came out in 1983. It doesn't sound overtly nostalgic. It just sounds like this is all Judas Priest knows how to do, which in the end is more authentic. What do you think about that, Mitch?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. It definitely sounded like people doing the thing they've been doing for a while.
Yeah, and, we're tap dancing over it. Yeah,
people are still gonna listen to it. That I see Judas Priest shirts constantly, so they gotta be dancing, right?
Yeah. So Tyler is not a diss, and the band listening, I'm sure you are. I'm not saying you can't do anything else, but for the most part, this album sounds dated, but I think this is what you are what is in your wheelhouse, what they're good at doing for them. So with that in mind, let's let these guys talk about some of the songs. I will interject anything I can think of. Let's take it away with the, I don't know, you want to start at the beginning with the Panic Attack? Because for me,
oh yeah,
when that song came on, I'll be fair, the rhythm is good. And I found myself actually immediately, Panic Attack, Panic Attack. I was instantly singing that song. I hear the song once, and I'm already, the chorus is already in my head. Kind of helps that that's all the chorus is the title, but, you know, I did like that. What about you, Mitch? What do you think of the opener?
Thought it was kind of annoying.
Really? Okay.
You know, again, like, I feel bad when we, like, talk about these kinds of...
Oh, go for it. Fucking like, rip me a new one. Go for it.
Man, it's just, like, definitely, like, something there, and I can understand people getting enjoyment from it, even though I don't. It's always in the voice with these kinds of groups. It just, like... kind of grates on me a certain way, I suppose. Like nails.
You don't like the metal vocals!
Yeah. Christ. I have a buddy who does, like, he can do, like, that classic rock, like, yeah! Like, he can, like, do that shit, like, crazy. And yeah, it's just, like, funny to me at this point, because I just, like, think of him just, like, saying random shit in his, like, classic rock fucking voice. And I don't know. I it's just, it's hard for me. Again, like the classic, my favorite classic rock band, I guess if you were to categorize it that way, is Pink Floyd. It never sounded like that.
Yeah, they're, I would say they definitely do have a different sound. So, Tyler, was this, were you pleased when the album was starting off?
Yeah, like they had like that synth-esque opening that kind of reminded me of one of the trilogies from the 80s, which was from Turbo, mixing like the guitar riff with the synth. It makes a great opening. It's a little bit of a, like a slow burn to get actually to the, like the heavy riffs and everything, but I think it's well worth it.
Yeah, and I also think I recall when we did the Patreon episode, and what draws me into 80s metal is when you get more thrashier. So I was like, that song's fine. And then when the second song I noticed is when I was more pleased, Serpent and the King. I'm like, this is what I like. Fast thrash metal. And I like when it just goes that way. And there's other songs throughout the album, but I thought that was cool. I even liked the title track too, which was like, you know, shredding guitar work and all that stuff's happening. I thought that I just like that. And I'm trying to like kind of like follow the lyrics along. And I did notice that Mitch said he doesn't like the vocals, but there's one song where he does like that, like, you know, when we talked about Breaking the Law, where he does like a more like a deeper octave and then hits to high notes on another song. But one song he's doing, it's like he must have layered the high vocals and the low vocals in the verse, so it sounded like two people singing. Mm. I thought I was really impressed. Is that, but I'm like, is he doing both vocals or is it a backing vocals? And he's doing, I'm like, who's doing this part? It's kind of listening to like a Guns N' Roses song when you're like, because, you know, Axl can sing low octave and like the high thing, but in certain songs you'll be like, is he singing the Don't Cry part, or is like someone else singing it? I'm getting on a tangent here, but do you know what song talk is? Does that what he does, Rob, where he'll layer his vocals like high and low on a song?
I'm just trying to remember the last few albums. I'm pretty sure he's done that before in the past, but I can't remember off the top of my head which song he's done that before on. Because he's usually like the main vocalist. Like the backup vocalist can't hit as high pitch as he can. Like he has a amazing vocal range to begin with.
Yeah, I noticed grating, that.
But I can't be certain, but I think it might be Glenn Tipton, the guitarist, who might be backup vocals, but I could be 100% wrong.
Okay, I didn't catch it, but yeah, I thought that I like the way they do that, and as long as they play like fast music, I'm interested. That's the best way I can say. But go on. Any other you want to talk about? You know, any song that stood out to you? You want to talk about?
I mean, fuck.
All of them. All of them stood out to me.
I mean, Serpent and the King, just like, okay, say what you will, but like, they know how to make a damn good catchy hook when they put their mind to it. Serpent and the King, like Panic Attack, fucking trying to remember off the top of my head, Devil in Disguise had that same kind of motif with it or not, but Devil in Disguise was great. Just a fucking awesome hook. Escape from Reality. I want Mitch's opinion on Escape from Reality.
I again, Ro was right, and he's okay. Like, "That's why I wrote one sentence."
I was like, I was joking, but he really did.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, I just kind of, I listen to it, I turn, like, I just
shut down,
phase over a little bit. Oh,
okay. All
right. Like,
I got an opinion on it.
Jog my memory, man. What even goes on in that one?
I got thoughts on that song. Go for it.
There's two songs this album that reminded me of Ozzy Osbourne, and that's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
The one song, Crown of Horns, is when it gets more melodic metal, and that sounded like early Ozzy, like his older stuff. Mm. But then Escape from a Reality sounded like modern, like, because it had like this alternative groove metal, like mid-90s Ozzy sound, and his vocals sound just like what Ozzy was doing, like, towards like 95 and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's my thoughts on that song. Is there more we should have got from that?
Not really, but like, it's funny that you mentioned Ozzy, because when they first got started, they did have, I think that they did have a few producers who were involved with Black Sabbath at one point. So like, especially during like the 80s and that new wave British like metal invasion stuff that was going on, like heavily, like they were bouncing off each other a lot.
Yeah, but yeah, I thought it was a point in the album, and Mitch, you can let me know if you even noticed that. But it all was sounding like old, but then it was just like, okay, now it sounds like this could have come out like possibly in the past 20 years instead of the past 30 years. So I'm like, this just sounds a little bit newer. And then when we get to the last song, that's when I thought, like, all right, there's moments in this song where it sounds more modern, but they are still reverting to their old ways. So I thought that was cool. What about the way they have all these song titles that are so cliche with their names? Like, As God Is My Witness, and just things people always say, The Gates of Hell. We got to have our standard song about the netherworld. Because, you know, that's what metal bands do. And we talk about purgatory and this and that. It's like, have you not done this yet, Judas Priest? I guarantee you have like 17 songs about hell in your catalog. But
that's another one that's like, I was looking at the track list and I was like, it was so edgy. You know, even when it was like Panic Attack, I was like, so cool. So awesome, man. That's sick. But again, like, and I wrote down the album title on this one, I think also sucks, because I just think that's what a child says when they're playing pretend and they don't want their friend to win the imaginary battle. You know,
Mitch, I'm glad you brought that up, because like, as I was like writing my notes, I'm like trying to think what other like song title would work for like the name of the album. Cause like, okay, I'm gonna peel back the layer just a little bit here. Their album cover and the album name isn't the best. Like, compared to what they've done in the past, like some of the like bizarre shit that they've done.
What is it? Something Steel? Like
British Steel?
Yeah, that's a better title, right?
I mean, it makes sense, because again, it's just like a razor and it's supposed to be like super edgy. It's like 1980, so you know, it's like the beginning of that wave of shit. But like, I don't, like, I couldn't, like, I was trying to play a game of like, what song could be better for this album? And it like, there really wasn't another one, because there's not like a through line almost. I don't want to say it's unfocused, because it, Priest always kind of like tries to play around with what songs they're trying to produce, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're just thinking of ideas. It's like basically like a trial by fire, you know, like a good idea for a title. Do that in there.
I guess it was a bonus song on the deluxe, but I think like Vicious Circle is kind of badass.
Look at that. He liked the song. Elaborate.
I didn't say I like the song. I'm saying if we're picking tracks like to name the album. Also, I was like, no, I'm listening to the standard. I'm not listening to the deluxe. So yeah, I didn't listen to Vicious Fight of Your Life, Vicious Circle, or The Lodger.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Yeah. I just went with the 11 tracks.
Okay. I do have just quick notes on the three bonus because, again, super fan. Fight of Your Life, it kind of exemplifies more of like Rob's vocal range that he can do, like playing homage to what he used to do back in the 80s and such. The Lodger, it's like their typical like power metal ballad. Like almost every album in the last 10 years or so, they have like this super like either melodic or super like kind of low-key power ballad, which is fine, but honestly at the end of the album it's kind of fitting in my opinion.
Okay, so we got to go with the longer version to really appreciate it then.
Sure.
Sons of Thunder. I recall there was a movie called Airheads. Remember that movie? So, with Brendan Fraser, Steve Buscemi and Adam Sandler, and they're like a rock band that wants to get their song played on the radio, so they like hold up a radio station.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, like, you know, they go to like a show at the beginning of the movie, and like they're like, you know, they're the band that's open, they're playing the show, and they're like, they're called the Sons of Thunder. And I'm like, I wonder if that was like, this song is based off of that movie, but I feel like I'm stretching it because. What is it?
I just love Thor.
Oh, it's based off of Thor. Okay. Yeah. Any thoughts on that song before we wrap things up?
It's like very typical. Like this is what I expect from a Priest album. It's harsh guitar riffs and solid percussion. It definitely reminds me of something that would be on like Ram It Down or Painkiller, like those albums, like late 80s, like in that one 1990 album.
Yeah. Well, I have to honestly say the last song, Giants in the Sky, the one I heard, I was saying before about Halford's vocals, like he hits those high notes really well, but I thought that song, when it ends, I'm like, that was beautiful. When it's like, you know, it's Giants in the Sky, you won't ever die! Holds that note, and then it just ends. I'm like, and then like, it ends the song. I'm like, all right, that was a good closer.
All right, I'm going to be an English teacher. What do you think it's about?
Like English, like, you know, a British like teacher,
no,
or like,
no,
the
like
language,
like an English like language,
a headmaster, you know.
That's what they call me. Don't look into that. Sorry.
I didn't know it was about anything deeper than that. I thought about like big people in the air.
Big people in the air. So this is like one of two songs that they've done where they kind of like pay homage to like masters and legends of the genre. Like here they pay like homage to like, you know, other people who are, God damn, I can't speak. One giving head joke and Tyler's ruined his speech. they're just paying homage to like the great legends of like heavy metal and hard rock and shit. Like, at least that was I was seeing, like, and they did that from another album, another song called Heroes End, which same thing. They kind of paid homage to the legends that were established at that time.
Well, that's not fair to me. I only listened to the album once. I wasn't able to get that on one listen. You probably heard the album 17 times and picked up on the 14th time.
13 times.
All right, then. Yeah, I don't really have a positive or negative thought on the album. It's just, for me, it's just there, and I probably guarantee my left nut I won't go back to it. That is a nice compliment I can give this album. What about you? Let's go to Tyler. Sorry, let's go to Mitch first.
Yeah,
let's go to Mitch first. Let's go to Mitch first.
I'm thinking now that it's like gonna be one of those records that, you know, when you go to like Target or Walmart Barnes and Noble, and they have a bunch of records there, but it's like, it's mainly just things that came out in the last 10 years, and they like press too many of them. I feel like this is going to be one of those. And that doesn't mean it's bad or anything. I just feel like this is a record I'm just going to like see constantly at the record store. Cause like Taylor Swift is a top selling artist, but you constantly see stuff in Target and Walmart and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Blah, blah. She ruins vinyl production for everyone else and small artists, whatever. That's a rant for another time. But, but yeah, you know, again, this isn't really, in general, this is not my cup of tea. This is not what I listen to. I respect it. I know this is like a band, like, yeah, it's Judas Priest, man. Like, it's Priest. Like, cool, you know? Like, you know, everyone, you got your thing. Everyone's got their thing. Not mine. So I can understand if it is. But personally, I guess, like, I would just give this a skip this. Because, again, not my thing. I can understand people really liking it. They have clout from being around for so long. Again, like you said, and we agreed it was cool that it still like feels older, but there are like newer feeling aspects to it, which I think is always good. So, you know, I know if I was a huge band or a huge fan of like a certain band and then they just kind of like stuck to their sound like that, and I was like a huge fan, I would be like appreciative of that. Although I am very welcome to change.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's a skip this, but I the vision. I understand the vision.
Okay.
No disrespect.
I hope we're
no,
still.
No, that's very eloquently put.
I hope we're still like all talking when Knock Loose is like doing albums 40 years in their career. And
I was
he's
thinking about that the other day too. I was like, I wonder what like the shelf life is on them.
Like 70-year-old men, like, you know, doing hardcore music.
It's going to end up me just being like 40 and I'm going to be annoyed because I'm going to be like, all these new bands are just copying Knock Loose, you know? I'm going to have the vocal style where they're just destroying their vocal cords.
Okay, so now I talked about this in the beginning of the review. All the boomers, people born in the 60s and anyone left that's still listening to this band, sit attentively because your fan of Judas Priest is about to unleash his thoughts on the 19th album from this favorite band. Take it away, Tyler.
All right. Like I said, I've been a fan of these guys for a while now, and it's not a week goes by that don't listen to at least one of their songs. Like, it's got me through thick and thin. This album is an example of how the self-proclaimed metal gods, oh shit, I almost knocked my shit over, can still make an enjoyable album. It's flush with great tones, sounds, and amazing imagery through their lyrics. However.
Oh shit. There's a however.
We're going for a heel turn right here. With all the praises, I do have to say it is a weaker follow-up to their previous outing being Firepower. And as I did more research into it because of something that'll be coming out shortly, check on the YouTube page. Mm-hmm. I found out that the albums that I seriously enjoy from them were all produced by the same guy.
AI.
No, this guy, Tom Allum. He did Firepower. He did like a lot of the albums I loved, like British Steel and Screaming for Vengeance, and they all have this great feeling and just energy to them. And that's what I love about Priest. Like that energy, that feeling. I don't know I can't really pinpoint it exactly. Cause there are albums that Tom Allum didn't work on that I still love, like Painkiller. So that was this a bad album? No, not by a long shot. It's probably on the same page as like their earlier works. But, and that's what hurts because I've been waiting 6 years to talk about this. Only three since I joined the show. Oh, this kills me inside. It really does. I'm giving it a download this because, again, I don't know what it was. It's not unfocused. It's not unfocused, but it just doesn't have that same like edge or just like straight energy that Firepower did. Like Firepower, I bought Day Of and I listened to that thing almost until I broke the CD. Like, there was energy. I knew the lyrics of most of the songs. Like, there was a through line, like this motif of fire and everything. Like, and I loved it. But this, I listened to four or five times, and I'm like, this is almost disappointing. Yeah. I don't mean to get emotional or something about it, but like, as I grow another five gray hairs on my luscious locks here, but yeah, to download this with every entry like this, it does have some merit and soul behind it, but, and I can respect it, but it just kind of falls short. It really does.
Oh man. So
I know.
News is going to read tomorrow. People will read their papers. Like, you know, Tyler says this album is fine, America.
I just hope it's not another 6 years before their next one. I really hope it's not another fucking 6 years.
Yeah, so probably. Yeah,
it will.
Fuck. Oh, kids might, by then, man.
It might be more average.
God, it'll be dad rock when I'm a dad. Fuck me.
So if you guys even know how to use the internet and are listening to the podcast or review, let us know what you think of the Judas Priest album.